Silverlight 4, the cool stuff. I'm Jim O'Neill, a developer evangelist at Microsoft's Northeast District, and this screencast covers a presentation I did during the Northeast Roadshow in May of 2010, shortly after Silverlight 4 was released. The session is almost exclusively an overview of what's new in Silverlight 4, versus a primer on Silverlight itself, or best practices for building Silverlight applications. If you're looking for something along those lines, there are plenty of instructional videos and materials at the silverlight.net site that I'd refer you to. There's nothing like a demo to kick things off, so let's start with this one, called Multi-Touch Puzzle. Right off the bat, you'll notice this is an out-of-browser application, so it looks like a WinForms or a WPF application. There's no browser Chrome, but indeed it's a Silverlight experience, as you can see here when I right-mouse click. You're looking at one of the new features of Silverlight 4 here, a fully functional web browser control that you can embed into your application as long as it's running out-of-browser. Since it's a browser control, I can Rickroll you easily as well with this video from YouTube. And I can Puzzlefy, which essentially uses the web page as a brush to paint puzzle pieces, which are just content controls, just as if you'd use the color red or a gradient fill. What you saw were two of the new Silverlight 4 elements in action, the web browser control and the web browser brush. Other controls added are a rich text box and a view box, which provides a simple, convenient resizing container for any other framework element. In addition to the new controls, the underlying XAML engine in Silverlight 4 has been revamped a bit as well, with a new parser that provides better alignment with WPF applications, including support for implicit styles as well as binding support for any dependency object, giving you the capability now to do things like bind facets of animations, like the angle of a rotation transform, to a slider control, for instance. The application I just demonstrated was an out-of-browser or sandboxed application, something that has been supported since Silverlight 3 and sits in the middle of a spectrum of application environments you can target. At the left is the well-known browser application. This is where you incorporate a Silverlight element via an object tag amongst other HTML, and it's served up within Internet Explorer or your browser of choice. That's essentially where Silverlight started, but even to that experience, Silverlight 4 adds print support, webcam and microphone support, as well as the ability to communicate to services via TCP and UDP in addition to HTTP. In the middle again are sandboxed or out-of-browser applications, and in Silverlight 4 those have been enhanced with more control of window placement, the addition of web content via the web browser control I demonstrated earlier, and the ability for the application to display notifications or toast, such as Outlook does when you receive a new email. Silverlight 4 also provides a new mode for running out-of-browser applications, known as Elevated Trust, shown to the right here, which, providing the user grants it, allows access to additional portions of the file system, the My Documents and My Music directories and so on, cross-domain service access, as well as COM integration. I have a small sample here that pulls in many of these concepts. Let's take a look at it now. First, let's take a look at the configuration of the application in Visual Studio. The properties view of the Silverlight application is where you indicate that the application can run out of browser, and additionally require elevated trust to enable COM integration and file system access, for instance. This application has a couple of different screens, driven by a combo box to highlight some of the Silverlight features, not all of which are new to Silverlight 4. It's the last option in the combo box that I'll focus on here, the one that enables webcam support.
Yo, Brainiac, you might try connecting a camera first.
I'm not sure how clearly the sound came across, but you should have heard a computer-generated voice saying, "Yo, Brainiac, you might try connecting a camera first." That snide comment is actually demonstrating the use of COM in an Elevated Trust Silverlight application. Here's how it works. In the constructor for this page, there's a test for the availability of the automation factory, which will be true only if the application is running in Elevated Trust. If so, then the familiar createObject method is used to instantiate an instance of a COM object with the app ID sappy.spvoice. A few lines up from there, you'll notice that the object instantiated is of a dynamic type, C# 4's version of late binding, so instantiating and invoking methods on this object is incredibly straightforward. When the webcam option is selected from the combo box, a check is made to see if there's a video device attached. This is the mechanism by which you interface with the webcam. Since the camera wasn't there, the video capture device resolved to null, and so the text-to-speech facility read out the message. If the application had not been working in Elevated Trust, I would have seen a message box instead. When there is a video device, a new video brush is created with the camera as the source, so you can paint any object with the webcam stream. Here it's simply a rectangle. The webcam variable here is of type system.window.shapes.rectangle, but it could easily be text or any other UI element. Next, I'll connect the webcam and run the application again, so you can get a view of downtown Boston from the New England Research and Development Facility in Cambridge. I'll right-click on the application, and you'll notice that I get a real context menu, not just the Silverlight menu option that you're used to seeing. This is another new feature of Silverlight 4, and to incorporate this simple context menu, I made use of part of the Silverlight toolkit on CodePlex, which provides a nicely styled class all ready for you. When I select the option to print, indeed I'm printing the webcam view, but here I'll use a printer driver from TechSmith so I can show you exactly what would be printed. Not only did I get the webcam view, but I also got text added to the image. Let's look at the code that made that happen. The print interface is fairly simple. You get three events, a begin print, print page, and end print. In the print page is where you set up the UI element you wish to actually print, via the page visual property. But in the begin print, I actually added something to the frame, namely a text block containing a caption, so that's included in the printed version as well. In the end print event, the text block is removed, so it no longer is part of the logical tree. It's not hard to see that using this technique, you now have the ability to create print-friendly versions of on-screen documents. That demo had a lot of discrete pieces to it, so let's do a quick review in slides. First, you saw the webcam support, and microphone support follows the same pattern. There are three main capture classes you'll employ. The first provides methods to enumerate the available devices and prompt the end user to grant or deny access. Once past that, the Capture Device class represents the specific device of interest. This class is actually extended by a Video Capture Device and an Audio Capture Device class. Then the Capture Source class is what you use to grab the video or sound stream, either synchronously or asynchronously, from a selected capture device. Printing support hinges off the Print Document class, which, as I showed in the code earlier, exposes three events for the print sequence. Print page will fire for as many pages as required, and for each page you have the flexibility to set up margins, the visual element to be printed, and so on. Lastly, as you saw with the caption I added, printing supports content that's not actually in the visual tree, but rather added dynamically, perhaps for a print-friendly version of your document. I demonstrated COM interrupt through a rather gratuitous use of the speech API, but there's obviously thousands of COM objects out there you can interface with, including the whole of Microsoft Office. As an aside, the introduction of the dynamic keyword in C# 4, as well as named and default parameters, can make working with complex COM objects, notably those in Word and Excel, as easy as it has been in Visual Basic. When I used a context menu to access the print functionality, you were seeing part of the new navigation support in Silverlight 4. In addition to right mouse click support, the mouse wheel is supported, and you can use Silverlight applications as drop targets, so you could perhaps drag a JPEG file from your desktop onto a Silverlight application that might add it to a photo album. A rather significant feature of Visual Studio that I didn't really call out, but which some of the eagle-eyed Silverlight developers out there might have detected, is the presence of a visual designer for Silverlight in Visual Studio 2010. In Visual Studio 2008, you can't use the familiar drag-and-drop UI design paradigm that you'd used in Windows Forms and WPF, because there's no design surface. All of the Silverlight design work in Visual Studio 2008 is via XAML. A design surface has been added to Visual Studio 2010 with support for property editing, data binding, and styling. For your advanced design needs, though, you would still opt for Expression Blend, which can handle animations, behaviors, and more advanced design scenarios. In addition to what comes in the box with Visual Studio and Blend, you definitely want to add the Silverlight Toolkit to your arsenal. The toolkit is available at CodePlex and contains numerous controls and sample code that you can incorporate into your own applications. The toolkit is an active project fed by the Silverlight team. In fact, it's from there that I grabbed the context menu control I showed earlier to save me from styling one myself. For the most part, what I've shown are primarily visual aspects added to Silverlight, but there's a lot behind the scenes as well. Earlier I mentioned the new XAML parser supporting more robust data binding scenarios, and data validation support as well as a number of commonly used extensions have been added, all of which will save you time, typically from coding converter classes to provide similar functionality. Silverlight 4 also adds more support for frameworks to build line of business applications. One of the primary frameworks used is Model View View Model, MVVM, a discussion of which is beyond the scope of this session, but something I tackled in a previous roadshow. Commanding support, which was already part of WPF and a key element of implementing MVVM, was conspicuously lacking in Silverlight, and that's been rectified. Additional behavior support has been added, and Expression Blend now includes specific templates for building MVVM applications. In addition to MVVM, WCF Rhea Services is available, as well as the Managed Extensibility Framework. Both of these topics merit numerous screencasts on their own, so I'd recommend reviewing the Silverlight.net site for more assets to learn more about these technologies. That brings me to the end of this brief overview of what's new in Silverlight 4. I'll leave you with a number of additional references, most of which I've already mentioned during the screencast. I will call out specifically the Silverlight 4 Overview white paper. For those of you already using Silverlight, this is a great way to see exactly what's been added in version 4. I covered many of the high points, but there are additional specific modifications and additions that may have direct impact on your own projects. The document is over 70 pages long, providing thorough coverage, and is well worth the read. Lastly, I'd like to thank you for your time and attention, and wish you a great rest of the day.